Man, I'm so excited to preach today because this has been an amazing year. And yet, I believe that the best is yet to come. How many believe that in Jesus? The best days are ahead. And Summer and I are honored to have you. Thank you so much for coming today. And I pray you have a great new year. And I pray that if this year has been good, if this year has been bad, if it's been a little bit of both, I pray that you leave today with hope that God is for you and that God knows you and that he's going to help you and that he's going to come through for you. How many believe that in Jesus' name? I believe. Come on, one more time. Let's give it up to Jesus. You online, go ahead and praise God in your house where you're watching. Because God is for us, and who can be against us? You may be seated today. I want to welcome you online. Thank you, online campus, for watching, and we love you. People watching around Bloomington, around the area, state, around the Midwest, around the nation, and around the world. And we love you. Thank you so much. You're a part of us. You're a campus of our church. And we love you here in this room. And I'm ready to preach today. Amen? I just feel good. And I want to highlight in the message today a few things that God has done this year as a church. And then I want to make this practical for you today so that you have some tools to go home with and have a great week here as we end the holidays this week. And really just maybe set aside some time to really get yourself in a place of focus. Not saying you're not, but just in the hustle and bustle of the holidays, you just kind of pull away and just kind of really think about what God wants to do next year. Maybe, prayer requests you have, maybe goals you have. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But I believe that as we focus and get ourselves ready, we get prepared for God to move. Amen? And so this has been truly an amazing year on so many levels. And when I thought about and prepared for this message, I just wanted to preach a message entitled, "The Best is Yet to Come." Is that okay? Can I do that today? And encourage you. So I'm going to do something a little different today in that I like to be concise with the scriptures I preach from. And I will be today. It's just that I'm going to read a few more verses than normal. So if you have your Bible or a phone, go ahead and grab it. If not, just follow me on the screen. I'm going to read 8 verses out of Psalm 124. And I wanted to read all 8 because I think it gives context to really what we're talking about today. This is the Psalm of David. David went through so much in his life. And so when you know who wrote it, it kind of gives a picture to this. But he said, "What if the Lord had not been on our side? Let all Israel repeat, what if the Lord had not been on our side? When people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger. The waters would have engulfed us. A torrent would have overwhelmed us. Yes, the raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives." I love, he says, "Praise the Lord who did not let their teeth tear us apart." Aren't you glad about that? This is my favorite verse. "We escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken and we are free." How many believe that today? Then he says, "Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth." So, Father, I thank you for this last Sunday of 2019. Thank you for everyone in this room, for the City Kids Wing, for those watching online. I pray that you would keep us safe in this place. And as we go this week of the holidays, I pray that all of us in some way would just lay down our resistance. We would set aside any distraction and we would receive something from you today. May your kingdom come, may your will be done. And we believe that because of Jesus, the best days of our life are ahead of us. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Notice the emphasis to me of this psalm. He starts off with the question, what if the Lord had not been on our side? He's really calling on the people that read this to remember. He's asking them to remember what God has done for them. He lists a few of their enemies. He says, if the Lord had not been on our side, they would have swallowed us alive in burning anger. He talks about his enemies. Then he talks about the waters, I believe the waters of life. Waters in the scripture reference the Holy Spirit a lot of times. Waters can also reference maybe negativity. And he talks about how they weren't allowed to overcome them and how they escaped like a bird from the hunter's trap. Really, he's calling on them to remember. There's great power when you and I remember what God has done. Now, I've preached on this or along these lines before because I've learned to practice this. In a tough time, in a tough moment, I've learned to sit down and write out all the things that I can remember that God has done. And by the end of that list, something about that act of faith changes my perspective. And by the end of that list, man, I'm believing God can do anything because I'm remembering what God has done. In the psalm here, just think about this question for your life and for my life. What if the Lord had not been on our side? Think about that today. Where would you and I be today? And you watching, where would you be today if the Lord wasn't on your side? And I wanted to just highlight something here just to really break the scriptures down a little bit if I can. When he says, really, he says, if the Lord had not been on our side, our enemies would have won and the waters of life would have overwhelmed us. But I got good news today. God is for us. And God is on our side. And the good news is you and I don't have to earn his favor. We don't have to be a goody two-shoe, if you will, to be accepted by God. He accepts us by grace. We receive it by grace through faith. And we don't have to perform. We want to live for him, but it is the free gift of God in Christ Jesus. And so all of us can come to heaven today, or we can go to heaven today, not because of our deeds, but because of his deed on Calvary and the resurrection that he did for you and me. And our life models that, of course, we have fruit. We have acts of righteousness, of course, but we're not here to earn it. We're just here to receive it and then live it out. And I want you to think about God has been on your side this year, maybe more than you know. Just please stay with me here. I want you to receive this today. I want to ask you a question. How many in this room and online have enemies? Now, all of us have a common enemy. All humanity has a common enemy. The Bible calls him Satan. And you know, his job, his assignment against you and me, every person in the world, is to steal from us. It's to kill us and to destroy us. But Jesus has come to give life and life more abundantly. Notice the stark difference. Everything from the devil is to take away. Everything from God is to give life. So all of us have an enemy in a sense. And that's, I'm not trying to scare you or make it, you know, weird. I'm just saying all of us have an enemy that would love to destroy our lives. But it's because of God on our side that we're standing today. And that we're going forward in God. And I want to encourage you today that the Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And so it doesn't matter, you know, sometimes even the people around us, because all of us have a common enemy in Satan, but also maybe some of us have an enemy in the form of other people. If they're sitting next to you, just look at me. Don't look at them right now. Hopefully it's not your spouse. Let's keep going in Jesus' name. But sometimes all of us, I'm sure, live long enough to know that sometimes people are not for our good. They maybe lie about us. They maybe want to manipulate us. Maybe they want to connive against us. Maybe they want to tear us down in the eyes of other people. That's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you. But this is not about fighting people. I'm not suggesting that. This is about glorifying God. Because notice that God can't control people. He can't even control the devil. In other words, he can't control if someone wants to lie about you, they're going to lie about you. If someone wants to do wrong towards you, they're going to do wrong towards you. If Satan has an assignment against you, he can't stop the devil from having the assignment. But the Bible says that they, even though they form a weapon against me, it shall not prosper. So while he can't control the person from not trying, he can step in and stop it from working in our life. And the Bible says they devise a plot against you and I, but it will not be performed, or it will not succeed. So I wonder today, do you have an enemy? If you do, in the form, of course, of the enemy, you know, Satan, God has protected you more than you know this year. If you have enemies around you in the form of people, I encourage you to pray for them. I encourage you to bless them. I encourage you to love on them. I encourage you to do good to them. Not too many amens. I encourage you to show love to them and to bless them, because if it wasn't for God on our side, they may have prospered. Remember today, folks, what God has done for you this year. Then he says, many have faced, he says, the waters would have overwhelmed us. The waters of life. Have you noticed that life doesn't discriminate against you and me? It comes to every human being. It tends to smack us in the face. It wants us to cow down and bow down. This is it's a product of the fall of humanity. It's sin. We're living in a cursed situation. And life wants to hurt us. And yet, today, there's no question in my mind that some of us in this room and online have faced the waters of life this year. Maybe some of us have drank the bitter waters of divorce. Maybe some have drank the bitter waters of physical ailment or sickness or disease. Maybe financial hardship, poverty, struggle, loss of friends, split up home. In terms of just love and kindness and tenderness, open communication, maybe mental struggles with anxiety, depression, and more. Maybe you faced the bitter waters of life and you felt the sting of racism. You felt the sting of being ostracized because of your political view. You felt different things because of the climate of our country. Who knows what you've gone through, but here's what the psalmist said. If it wasn't for God, the waters of life would have drowned us. But here we stand in his presence today, and you may be on your tiptoes in a pond of water, barely at the surface, trying to keep your nose and your mouth above to get air. God sees you, and you are here today because he is on your side, and he's not let the enemy win against you, and he's not going to let the bitter waters of life win against you either, because what God starts, he completes into the day of Jesus Christ. If God be for you, who can be against you? There's great power when you and I just take time to remember what God has done. And it's easy for us to forget. We are in a fast pace. We have information coming at us all the time. We can get caught up into the next struggle or the next goal or the next mountain of success that we easily forget. Wait a minute, man, I could have been hurt really bad back there, but somehow God's hand brought me through. I should have been devastated, but I'm standing with joy. I should have been out, but God brought me in. I should have lost my mind, but I'm in a peace of mind right now. I should have been worse off than I was, but here I stand looking better than I deserve because of the grace of God. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he's done, not only this year, but all the days of my life, I'm here today, not because of my ingenuity. I'm here because of the grace of the Lord Jesus. Come on, give him a great rousing praise. It's because of God. We remember. And I love this verse. He says this verse to 7, we have escaped like a bird from the trap. I want to ask you a question. You know, I've been faced with different, how do I say this? I've seen the potential of my life in people that I know. In terms of if I wouldn't have been saved, I've seen the potential of what I could be. The depravity of that, What trap has the enemy set out for you? Is it bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, hate, revenge, malice, pride, lust, greed, selfishness, doubting, scoffing, mocking, cynical, critical, backbiting, gossiping, dividing? What trap has the enemy tried to trap you with? There's something profound when you and I remember the trap that the enemy's tried to take us out with. We should remember that. We should remember, like, man, if I don't stay right with God, this is what I can be. There's something about that that's profound. I'm not necessarily sure that the trap of the enemy in our life ever really goes away. I think it could be there waiting in the wings, but that's why we rest in the presence of God. And we choose to follow God all the days of our life. And we choose to walk with him. I'm not trying to scare you, but I want you to think about this message. Think about this, the context of David facing Goliath, facing the lion and the bear, overcoming his sin with adultery and murder, overcoming all the stuff he went through. And he's saying, if it wasn't God on my side, where would I be? And all the things that you and I can think about today, and we have a promise, when you and I just remember, we can, I'm sure, recollect, man, I escaped that trap. It wasn't secure, and the trap tried to get me. And man, I just kind of fluttered out, and God's grace rescued me. I want to encourage you to remember today that God is good. Remember, he's faithful, he's true, he's steadfast, he's mighty, he's great, he's present. Remember that he is God. And I want to challenge you to remember that God has been greater to you and me than we even know. And I'm speaking that to maybe to some of you in this room and online, that maybe 2019 has been the worst year of your life. And I have empathy, and I'm sorry. I wish that wasn't the case for any of us ever in our life. And yet somehow in those moments, we can still look through the tears and think, if it still wasn't for God on my side, man, those tears should have taken me out. We can still find silver lining, if you will, in the fact that, man, if it wasn't for God, where would I be? Yeah. Even through the tears, he sustained me to be here at this point. So I want to encourage you to remember what God has done. I want to just remember what God has done this year. I want to list off a few things to build your faith, because we're all in this together. If you're new to City, we would love for you to be a part of us. Everyone's welcomed. Nobody's perfect. We know that. But anything's possible with God. You know, this year we became an official college campus. You know that? We're in our property is a satellite campus for Southeastern University. You can earn a degree, a college degree, and have an internship in our church and move forward in ministry or not. But that's amazing, man. We're a college campus here. Come on now. We got IU. We like IU. Go Hoosiers. We got Ivy Tech, West Ivy Tech. We also got SCU. Come on the east side. This year, we've had the most salvations ever in one year in our history. We had the biggest Easter weekend, Easter reach than ever before. We had our greatest financial year. We renovated the kids' wing and the students' wing. The youth group reached their goal this fall of growth. Come on, Pastor Kim and the movement. Movement. Move what? Move what? Move what? All right. Makes me sound cool, I guess. I don't know. We eliminated as a church through your generosity, through the partnership with RIP Medical Debt Relief, we eliminated $2.2 million of medical debt in our county. Come on, somebody. Isn't that great? Man, that's good. We built our fourth orphanage in Africa, debt-free. Every week this year, we'll do it again this week, we have served the needy by giving appliances, furniture, hygiene products, clothes, groceries, people that have lost everything, to people that are trying to come out of all of it. every week. We've had more growth than ever before in our church's history. And we simply remember so that we can believe. Believe what? That the best is yet to come. But it empowers us to remember. Or I should say it this way. When we remember, we're empowered to believe that the best is yet to come. Notice in verse 8 of this psalm, I'm almost done. Notice in verse 8, he says, our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's the creator. He's the creator of the whole world. Remember that old song, if you're from Sunday school, he has the whole world in his hands. And he has you and I in his hands too. Did you know that when Jesus was dying on the cross, they took the nails and we believe it went through the two bones in his wrist. The hand in the ancient world was just not, it was more than the palm. It stretched down on the wrist. It went between the two bones and it pierced a nerve in his wrist that causes a reaction for the hand to clutch and not let go. It went through the nerve in his feet so he would try to step up to get air as he was hanging on the cross. But what's fascinating, though, is that his hand, once the spikes went through, his hands were like this the rest of his life while on the cross. But Isaiah says that I held them in my hand and nothing can take them out. Even the nails in his hands revealed a prophetic truth that when God grabs you, nothing can take you out of his hand. There's an old song that says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And when he was on the cross, supernaturally, divinely, as God in the flesh, the Son of God, he knew every person that was living and every person that would live. That's why he was the sacrificial lamb that could die for all humanity, Africans, Europeans, Asians, and Americans, and everyone else in between. And when that nail went through and he grabbed that nail because of the nerve that was pierced, he was grabbing you. He was grabbing your family. He was grabbing your wife. He was grabbing your kids. He was grabbing your grandkids. He was grabbing your lineage. He's the maker of heaven and earth, and he's our help. So here's some practicality before I let you go. I want to encourage you today to remember, of course, as I've said, what God has done according to this psalm. And I want to encourage you individually to celebrate what God has done. Maybe today, maybe New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, if you have some time, pull aside and sit down maybe and write out some things that God has done for you this year. Whether they're small or big, and whether it's easy for you to think about them or it's hard for you to recollect what they are, just take time and write them out. And then, you know, if you're not awkward, just raise your hands just in your house or wherever you are and just say, Lord, thank you for what you did this year. Thank you, Lord. I remember what you've done. I remember what you've done. Thank you so much. But then take it a step further. And then I want to encourage you to write down at least 3 goals for next year. If you have a prayer request, something pressing on your life, pressing in your heart or your mind, write it down. If you have desires of your heart, write them down. Give them to God. One person told me recently, I don't go to God with the small stuff. I don't want to bother him. That's not biblical. The Bible says that he delights in every detail of our life. He likes the big details and the small details, man. You got to give God a chance to move in your life. I want to challenge a thought here. Some people say, and I know they mean well. I'm not trying to be mean, so please understand me. But when you say this, God, whatever you want to do, just do. Now, that is a great prayer in surrender. That's a powerful prayer of surrender. God, whatever you want to do, I'll do it. I think all of us should come to that point and pray that prayer. That's a powerful prayer. I'm not minimizing it. Man, yes, Lord, whatever you want to do, do it. But also we should transition past ambiguity into specifics, right? And we need to say, God, move in my life. For example, there was a young couple that came to our church, and he was working with athletes here in the city. And then they moved back to her hometown, his wife's hometown. And some of you saw this maybe who follow them. But he prayed. He told me, he said, PD, he said, my playing days, football player, he said, my playing days aren't over. I feel like I just need to give it one more shot. And I'm going to try out for this new football league, professional league called the XFL. He said, but I'm praying that God would, if I get drafted, if God would make a way, I'm praying that I get drafted by this team because I want to be home with my wife and daughters. I don't want to leave. I want to be home. I don't have to travel across the country. I want to just be there. And then he said, and my wife wants to be a dentist. And so she applied for several schools, but we prayed and we asked God, God, just for us to be a family and just for us to be together and stay home together, I'm asking that she get accepted by this college, which is in her hometown. And recently he posted on social media. He got drafted by the XFL, and guess what team he's on? That team in his hometown. And then his wife got an acceptance letter from the college to be a dentist, and guess what college she's going to? The one in her hometown. Sometimes you got to stretch out your faith, leave ambiguity, and get specific with God, and give God a chance to do what you can't do, because he will make a way where there is no way, and you have to say, God, I believe you can do it. Man, I feel good in my soul. So I want to encourage you to write down some goals and prayers. Take time. Take time just to sit down and say, God, what would you have me, Lord, what would you want to do? But Lord, here's what's on my heart, man. I want to, and just start writing some stuff down. And then say, God, I give it to you. Lord, help me do my best this year. I give it to you. Then I want to challenge you to think about this week and all of our eating and all of our celebration. To prepare your heart for 21 days of prayer and fasting. Not so much applause on that, but it's biblical. And Old and New Testament believers did it often. Did you know in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said three things, and he didn't say if, he said when. When you pray, when you give, when you fast. He didn't say if you want to. He said when you pray, when you give, when you fast. Means it's an expectation that he wants us to do at some point when we serve him. Now, if you want more information, go to our website. We have all the information you need for the fast. But we all don't have to fast the same thing. And people can fast whatever they want to fast to give themselves over to God for 21 days. And I want to encourage you. We'll have daily prayer themes. We'll give you daily verses. We'll pray every night during the 21 days of prayer and fasting in the student auditorium. I want to encourage you to celebrate this week. Have some time to write down the practicality of this message. Write down a few things that God has done and give him thanks. Come on, man, get aside. You know what I've been doing every day? I've been challenged every day. I get up early in the morning and take my dog out, and he prays with me. And I sit at my office or sit at my kitchen table and I pray. And I've been challenged to sit in total silence for 30 minutes every day. No phone, no music, solitude. Just be quiet and just be at peace. Receive God's presence. I know that may sound weird to some of you, but I realized when I did it the first time, I was itching after a minute. Because we're so busy. You don't have to do it, but I'm just telling you, we're so busy and so kinetic, and we're just, it's good just to just get yourself set aside. Just be quiet. Just sit, man. Just let God touch you. Even if just silence, man, there's peace in silence. If you have kids, there's peace in silence. That's why I get up before they get up. There's peace and silence. Come on, parents. Amen. Sometimes I'd be praying and seeking God, and my kids would be running around the house. Thor! Iron Man! Running around screaming. Summer, they pooped their diaper. God, help me. Then I'm in the spirit. I look over and, shut up, kids. I'm trying to pray and seek God. I think God kind of laughs and says, no, you shut up. We're going to encourage you. You don't have to do that, but I've been challenged to move forward in this. Giving more time to God. I want to encourage you for 21 days, what could you give up? A sweet, a food, a habit, a hobby for 21 days. It's very important in closing that you would write out the things you remember God has done and then write out a few of those goals and prayer requests and desires, because even though we give you prayer themes and verses to help us all stay focused in our prayers as a group, it's good to have that written out and you keep it so you don't lose it all year, but then it's good to look back and see what God does next year. And I want to encourage you that the best is yet to come because of Jesus. And when we remember, it stirs us to believe, but also when we align ourselves with God, we're able to receive the best he has for us. Please hear this, and I'll say this again. I'm really excited about the series in January. I'm going to be preaching on Emmanuel. You got to come check this out. I'm excited. I've been burning with this, man, for months now to start the year off. That God is here. But I want to encourage you, we're not buying or earning or twisting God's arm for anything. That's wrong teaching. What we're doing is God's here, and so I want to be where he is, and I want to be in alignment with him. And prayer and fasting doesn't do any magic tricks, but it really doesn't. It really is about changing us in the process as we seek God. But it also has the promise that when we seek God in prayer and fasting, he does move on the prayers and the petitions of his people. Next year, it's amazing today. Thank you for working with the dream team in the parking. And you know, I remember coming in here, this building was full of dust and boxes were all around me in here, and we were building this building. We moved in March. It was made only 9 months. It feels like 5 years. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I remember coming in here on Saturday nights before our Saturday night service, and I'd come in here about 3:30 in the afternoon, and I would come up here and I'd make a little altar with some wood or something and a pulpit, and I'd get my Bible and I'd just preach my message, and I'd say things like, man, I'm so glad you're here. Man, it's amazing. We're growing so quick. We got to make more room, and here we are. I give God the credit. Man, we're out of room. And it's about souls. And so, where are we going next year? I'll unpack that more in February. I'll share with you where we're going next year as a church. But next year, I'll say this, we want to go to a third service. Our goal is to work our financial plans because we got to get downtown. I feel it in my heart to reach the lost, to reach the broken, to reach the girls in sex trafficking. You know, right now in our county and the surrounding 5 counties, that there's an uptick of young women, some even adolescent, that are pregnant because their parents are high on drugs and they're pimping them out to get a high. And they're getting pregnant and they want to have, and they feel convicted to have a child, and they're trying to navigate all this. And so I've already been working with agencies. I've been reaching out to one particularly. I want to work with them. I want to be downtown. I want to help them have office space. I want to reach out to these girls, man. Let's be the church. And so what we're doing here, what we're doing is one step at a time. They want to fortify City Kids next year. Make it even better for your children. Make the youth group even better. We thank God for Pastor Nikki and Pastor Tony and Pastor Cam, Pastor Hillary. We want to fortify the groups. We want to fortify the dream team. We want to do our best for you. But most of all, we want to do our best for God. Because you know why? The best is yet to come. Come on, give him a great and clap of praise. I believe it. Let's stand to our feet and give God a worship and a praise that he deserves. Father, we commit ourselves to you today in this room and online. There's nothing impossible to them that believe. Jesus, we're humbled in your presence. We're grateful for what you've done. And we give you everything we got. You deserve it all. So, Father, I pray today that we would celebrate, and this week we would write down some of those things and our heart would be lifted. I pray that we would then write down goals and prayer requests and desires, and we would commit them to you. I pray that everyone in this room and online and those that are away on vacation would seek you and what they could pray and fast about. And that we would just set aside January as a time of what can God do with a church that's yielded to him, and what could God do with a person that yields to you. God, we want to find out. We say, here we are. We're going to be that church. We're not the only church, but we're going to be that church. We're going to be that church that says, God, whatever you want to do, do it through us. We're going to stretch our faith. We're going to reach our goals. We're going to stretch our goals to do more because people need you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that every individual is an individual in this church that says, God, whatever I want to find out in my lifetime, that if I yield to you, what can you do? And that we would see it as we live. In this room today, if you would say, Pastor David, I've never received Jesus in my lifetime, or you would say, I have received Jesus, but in this moment, I'm far from God, and I know it in my soul. Both of those positions are mentioned in the Bible, and yet the Bible says that Jesus is the answer for both of them. If you've never received Christ, call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. If you have received Christ, but you're far from God, the Bible says, come back to him, and he's forever grafted or forever committed to you. And so if that's you today and you say, Pastor Dave, that's me, as heads are bowed and hearts are bowed and I want to receive Christ for the first time or recommit to him, if that's you right now, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus today. God bless you. 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 Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And how many would say, Pastor Dave, I want the courage to remember. I want to set some time aside. I just want to remember what you've done. And I want to take a step of faith, and I want to write down some goals, write down some prayer requests, maybe even some of the desires of my heart. And I even want to take a step for the first time or maybe for the 100th time. And I want to just take time to pray and fast and give God a chance to move in my life, because I believe the best is yet to come. If that's you, to go ahead and raise your hand. I want to see and support you. Thank you. Hands up all over. Thank you so much. Follow me in this prayer so no one's left out, and say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours and I run to you. Please forgive me for any wrong in my life. I turn from those things, those actions, those words. I stop doing it. I commit my life to you. I'm in your hands now. Your will, your way. In me. And I commit my life, my faith and my hope, that the best is yet to come. So I choose to remember. I choose to pray. I choose to commit what I have to you. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, come on, give him a great hand clap of praise. God can do it.